TalkZone.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from the multi-million dollar interstellar media broadcast communications studios, it's Lawyers Who Needs Them, featuring Randall Simonetti and Jim Hartman. And now, here's Jim and Randall.
Whoa, we got a great crowd today, James. What a crowd. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining Lawyers Who Needs Them. I'm Randall Simonetti.
And I'm Jim Hartman.
And my partner, Mr. Hartman, is considered one of Rochester, New York's, actually one of New York State's top trial attorneys, and he's argued before the United States Supreme Court.
And my partner, Randall Simonetti, is the founder and CEO of Ignition Consulting, serving business, education, and nonprofit clients throughout the United States.
Now, with the help of our orchestra and the leader, Professor Stanley Staccato, each week, Jim and I attempt to take the mystery and complexity out of our legal system.
And inject some common sense and perhaps a sense of humor back in.
Now, if you have a question for us, we have a very simple way of you getting that question to us so we can do a little research on it and answer it on the very next program. You simply send your question to info, I-N-F-O, at lawyerswhoneedsthem.com. Info at lawyerswhoneedsthem.com. And if you want to know a little bit more about the program or how Jim became as famous as he is, you can go to the official website of Lawyers Who Needs Them, which is, of course, lawyerswhoneedsthem.com. So questions, info at lawyerswhoneedsthem.com. Information at lawyerswhoneedsthem.com. Okay, I guess the program time is up now.
I think so. Now that you're finished. I was wondering whether we're going to get through here.
Or not. All right. Well,
I'm getting hungry.
Well, let's take off.
I'm getting a fever.
So without any further ado or fever, let's kick off this week's edition of Lawyers Who Needs Them. Well, Roman Polanski needed one, but now he's a free man. What's that all about, Jim?
Well, to review it just briefly, he was convicted of statutory rape, I guess, or for having a sexual relationship with a 13-year-old girl in 1977.
77, long time
ago. Or about that time, having sex with a 13-year-old girl. In the meantime, there was a whole bunch of stuff going on, and they were going to give him a sentence that was
pretty serious.
No, it was supposed to. They had negotiated something, and he contended that he got word of the fact that they were not going to keep their word. So he left the country.
He took off.
Took off from the United States and went to France or Switzerland or something like that.
Okay.
Well,
and he's been
there
ever since.
He's been there ever since, and he never came back to the United States because if he did, they'd lock him up.
Okay.
And he's a director and producer of some very excellent movies.
Right.
Rosemary's Baby, Chinatown, The Pianist, and he was accused of plying his victim with champagne. As part of some kind of a thing back in 1977. And in any event, he has been in Europe, and he went from France to a film festival to receive some award in Switzerland, and they grabbed him.
Oh.
Because there's an international warrant out for him to be
all
extradited.
Right.
And I got to tell you, I don't understand all of this because it's very, very complicated.
But why is he a free man? They say
because after about 6 months, he was put in prison in Switzerland, and then they gave him, he lives in Gstaad, which is a ski town there.
Right.
It's pronounced Gstaad. and that's because it's spelled that way. G-S-T-A-A-D-T, I think.
Very interesting.
Which means Gstaad. And so they gave him house confinement. They let him out on bail, $75,000 or some huge amount, maybe $2 million. And I think maybe $2 million. And they said, don't leave and stay in your house.
Right.
And which he's done. In the meantime, the thing came up, and apparently the judge or the justice ministry requested certain information from the United States to see whether they would comply
with
the extradite. In the meantime, they did not give him this information. And as a consequence of that, they rejected the application by the United States for extradition.
So he can leave his house.
He is now a free man under Swiss law, and a lot of things were taken into consideration. Actually, the girl with whom he had this relationship, who's now obviously 50 or something, she said, let him alone already. It's not a big deal. That's what she said. Don't.
Okay.
She said.
Not that, anymore.
But the decision was made by the justice minister there, whose name is...
Gestink.
No, Widmer Schlumpf.
Oh, Schlumpf.
Yeah, Widmer Schlumpf. And Ms. Schlumpf or Mr. Schlumpf or whatever kind of a Schlumpf he is, or she is, because I can't tell you what it is, they decided to, as I say, they took the position that his sentence has already been served.
Uh-huh.
That had he, they adhered to what they were doing in the United States. They asked the United States for any material that would support a contrary position, and they refused to send it or didn't send it, and for that reason,
he's done.
He's done. He's
All
finished.
Right, well,
he's out.
Good
the
luck,
decision,
Roman.
This decision wasn't expected by the United States, but that's what happened. And as Mr. Widmer Schlumpf said, that the decision was not meant to excuse Polanski's crime, saying the issue was not about deciding whether he is guilty or not guilty. It's about whether he ought to be extradited, and persisting doubts concerning the presentation of the facts of the case, they felt that that information was necessary from the United States, and in the absence of that, out he goes, so he's free.
All right. Well,
he holds a dual citizenship both in France and Poland.
In Poland.
That's where he was.
Well, Polanski is probably citizen. A Polish name. Sounds like a Polish name.
Well, it is a Polish name. Certainly
fact,
not a
Polanski,
French name. It's not an Irish name.
No,
I can tell you that.
No,
so.
And you know what it stands for?
What?
Polanski.
Yeah,
anyway,
that's right. Well, it could stand for Wilmer Schnumpf, but that's it.
The Schnumpf.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a cold when you say that, it's very difficult to pronounce your name. You just have to say Chief Justice.
Well, I don't know. The Minister of Justice, I think they call it.
She's the minister. Is it he or she?
Evelyn.
Evelyn Schlumpf.
But in Evelyn Widmer Schlumpf declared, Mr. Polanski can now move freely.
All right.
Since 12:30 today, he is a free man.
There it is. That's the quote of the day.
That was not today. It was 2 days ago.
All right.
Monday,
well, thank you for the Schlumpf report.
All right.
Well, this is an unrelated topic, but there is a similarity here. A law firm partner pleads guilty to groping his opposing counsel.
Can you believe this?
Maybe he was just trying to work out a deal.
Well, the guy, a partner with a Portland, Oregon law firm, he was accused of groping his opposing counsel in a construction defects case.
Oh.
I think there was a little mental defect here as well. And he pleaded guilty to harassment. Jack Levy, a partner with Smith, Fried, and Eberhardt, was sentenced to 2 years of probation.
For groping.
The Aragonian reports.
Oh, okay.
He was also ordered to write an apology letter and to attend classes on, quote, gender issues, end quote. I love these classes they have for all that. What do you have to attend the class? You know it's wrong. Keep your hands off everybody, and you won't have to attend on gender issues. That's a big topic today.
Right,
gender
right.
issues.
All right.
He admitted to offensive physical conduct, and he pleaded guilty to the misdemeanor.
All right.
The opposing counsel, who wasn't identified in the story, he's a little embarrassed.
Right.
She had alleged that the incident took place at a party hosted by another law firm. And this fellow, Libby, started making sexual comments.
I want you to kill
and when she left the room, he followed her, went to the hallway, groped her, and asked her crude sexual questions.
Oh, that's
was terrible.
Unbelievable.
Well, my answer is he just liked groping. What do you...
Yes.
The state bar is investigating, but he's a groper.
Yeah.
And when you're a groper, you don't grope if you're going to get caught, because if you grope, you're going to get caught.
And here's what she said.
And you don't grope the opposition.
Right. And she had a response.
Don't call me babe.
Right. She just didn't want to be called babe.
That's right.
All right.
Okay.
Well,
there we go.
Let's talk about
Mr. Levy. You've got some probation. Put your hands in your pockets, not everybody else's pockets. And not on anybody else's body, right.
All right. A U.S. Court of Appeals tosses out the FCC rules on expletives.
Well, this is...
Because if they tossed that out on this show, we couldn't go on.
actually, this is it's a complicated issue, because at one point there was, you know, you can't necessarily be using filthy language on radio or TV. And the FCC, which is the Federal Communications Commission, said they had some rules. And one of the rules is, at one time, they said a fleeting expletive was all right. Like you used the F word once.
Right.
Or you used a bad word once.
Right.
But they changed that. And they passed a rule in 2004, which said that, it's one of the commission's policies, which said that profanity referring to sex or excrement is always indecent. By prohibiting all patently offensive references to sex, sexual organs, and excretion without giving adequate guidance as to what patently offensive means, the court held that the FCC effectively chills speech because broadcasters have no way of knowing what the FCC will find offensive.
Right.
How about that they know most people find certain things offensive?
Right.
In any event, and I don't agree. This will go back to the Supreme Court. By the way, it was in the Supreme Court on a procedural matter, and it was sent back to the court, United States Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit, which is located in New York City, and they were advised to reconsider the case with the technical defect removed. Now, it's a constitutional issue. It'll go back,
not on a technical defect,
but on the constitutional issue.
All right.
And the thing is that, to place any discussion of these vast topics at the broadcaster's peril, this is what the court said, has the effect of promoting wide self-censorship of valuable material which should be completely protected under the First Amendment. I think they're whacked out. I mean, since when is excrement some kind of a valuable material to be protected? Unless, of course, it's manure and you're going to fertilize, it's valuable for the flowers, but not, you know. So this is what they're saying. I mean, the courts are going, it's just, who knows, but I don't know.
You know, we just got a...
On the other hand, maybe once in a while you slip out a little dirty word, it shouldn't be actionable. It shouldn't be a violation of the rule.
You get a little caught up in
the passion
of it. Of course,
if you habitually get into that stuff, then, you know, you got a bad habit.
Right. Well, that can happen. You know, I was thinking about our last the law partner who was involved with the groping, and, you know, maybe he was just merely examining her legal briefs.
No, he was examining her briefs.
Well, don't examine your briefs, because who knows what will come of that.
Right.
We're going to take a short intermission. You're listening to Lawyers Who Needs Them. Don't change that dial.